This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Hi, Catherine Devaney here. You're listening to Hide the Seek with Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice on Joy 94.9.
This is Nate Valvo. It's like a weird episode of Silence of the Lambs when I walk past and Dean's standing in the studio. Hello, Clarice. And there you are in the corner, Andrew, in his dungeon, in his cell, doing what you do. Well done, you. Mwah.
This is Jai Wallace and I'm a tramp with Dean and Andrew.
Has me very rattled.
Can you come in here, please?
What?
This is bad. Bad, bad, bad.
I'm officially out of control.
Stop thinking with your dick.
That's all right. I'll just attribute this to your drinking problem.
I could walk out of here and boom. You're very unique.
Free yourself from the confines of the past. Here to guide us towards the life we want to live.
God's chose well.
Our compassionate counsellor, Stu Fenton.
He is our compassionate counsellor. He is Stu Fenton, and he is on the line. Welcome.
Hello, Craig. Hi, Dean.
Now, Stu, you put something under our noses titled Hedonism and the Secret of Happiness.
Yeah.
And it's a really fascinating little article, actually. Walk us through it.
Well, I have to be honest. I mean, I've just been reading the one that you sent to me just now, and the other one's faded from my memory a little bit.
Trust me to stuff it up. All right, let's throw yours out the window and talk about meth-fueled week-long orgies. That's what I sent you.
Yeah, well, I mean, that one really caught my attention. That was quite shocking, and but it's interesting. I mean, I'm quite stunned that that article's from Britain, isn't it?
You're not suggesting it's not happening here?
Oh, no, not at all. Right, not at all. Okay. No. The reason I'm saying that is because, you know, like in the last sort of 10 to 20 years, they've started Crystal Meth Anonymous programs in America as well as in Australia, but there's always been this argument that there's no need to start it in Britain because crystal meth is not a problem there. And so when I read that article, and the article is all about the crystal meth slamming that's going on in parties all around London, I was thinking, well, I thought it was either going to be sooner or later, but it was going to arrive there at some point. So, you know, it was in that way, it doesn't shock me. I mean,
now, Stu, your phone cut out just before when you illustrated the difference between America, Australia, and the UK. Could you do that again for us?
Yeah, for sure. You know, there was always this Crystal Meth Anonymous, which is a program for people trying to recover from that drug, has been set up in America and Australia for the last 10 to 20 years, but it's never been set up in London until actually 6 months ago when it has. So it doesn't surprise me, this article that you sent me, because, you know, it's clearly reached Britain. I mean, sometimes it would make sense to think it would have got to Britain before it came to Australia, but for some reason it became popular in Australia long before it became popular in Britain. But there's sort of, you know, knowing the Brits as they are and having partied on that scene over there, they don't do anything lightly. So, you know, the descriptions of the slam parties and the, you know, the barebacking and you know, getting people online it makes sense to me that they're doing that over there now. I mean, it's definitely going on here, but I think it's been going on here for a long time. You know, I've been out of that scene myself for 10 years, but I know it was happening well over 10 years ago.
There's very few articles as raw and real as the one that I sent you by Max Daly, which is available online at vice.com. And it's titled The Meth-Fueled Week-Long Orgies Ravaging London's Gay Sex Party Scene by Max Daly. It pulls no punches. It's full on.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I got from reading the first two paragraphs of it, you know, and not only that, it's got a bit of visual stuff there of someone actually injecting themselves. So it's, It's but I mean, it definitely has a bit of a what is it? It's a bit of a leading article to push all the. Not that that's a bad thing in regard to this drug or this behaviour. I don't necessarily think, because what it's trying to emphasise there is, you know, the things that people risk by getting involved in the use of this drug in such an extreme manner. You know, and that includes if you're HIV negative, you know, not using condoms, all the host of STDs that you can get, the kind of behaviour and the lack of inhibitions that you have and what it might lead you to doing. And not only that, just the sort of disconnectedness that arises out of it. I mean, he's describing these parties where people are feverishly tapping away on their phones or laptops trying to get more bodies over to the party to continue with the, you know,
the cycle.
Cycle, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is, I guess, the extreme form of hedonism as, I can't think of anything more hedonistic. Can you?
Well, it is the definition, pretty much, isn't it?
I guess so.
Yeah. And I think, too, you know, with our culture, and I mean, I've got a very particular perspective on this because I've been through it all, and I'm sort of, I see myself as having come out, fortunately, in one piece at the other end.
But and you work with it every day in the sense that you're counselling people with it.
Well, absolutely. In fact, I had someone last night who was describing everything that was in that article and their desire to go off and do it. And so, yeah, it sits in front of me. But I think, you know, what's happening here is people are trying to use as many different, I always use the word hits of pleasure, hits of intensity, hits of, you know, fun to, and they're combining them together so that, you know, you've got crystal meth is already an incredibly powerful drug. And so gay men have worked out that if you can combine that with sex, which is also an incredibly powerful hit, and anything else, you know, the visualness of the porn or the kind of guys that you get there or the intensity, extremeness of the fisting or the group sex or the amount of men that are involved or the simulated rape scenes or whatever, then the more exciting it is. And, you know, there's one part of me goes is I really believe most people need to go through this experience to work out what it is that they're actually doing or what they're looking for with that. I mean, my experience was there was always a fair degree of fun and pleasure in it, but it never actually brought me lasting happiness, which maybe I imagined it would, but never did. And so sometimes I think with this kind of behaviour, there's an avoidance of certain things that are going, not for everyone, I want to say not for everyone, but if it's happening every weekend like that article suggests, and people are deteriorating, like the character that was described there who talked about he was a favourite party bottom and he's got no teeth left and he's still looking for people to, you know, come and have sex with him. You know, I think there's issues that are not being looked at there.
So, Stu, in the article that you actually sent us on hedonism, it talks about the Velvet Rage, which I'm actually currently reading. And part of the Velvet Rage actually talks about the fact that a lot of these behaviours are about validation of oneself. So having good sex is validating for me because it makes me feel like I'm worthwhile. And a lot of the behaviours that these drugs do, because I remember hearing Mr. X talk last week or 2 weeks ago, where he was saying that when he had meth, it was like he was no longer an amateur at sex. He was actually really good at it and all this other stuff. So, you know, sometimes this isn't just about the excitement of the sex. It's also about, you know, some of the deep-seated psychological issues that you know, come around with, you know, seeking validation and things like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that Velvet Rage is quite a popular book at the moment amongst, you know, a lot of men that I work with, but just in general, a lot of people on the scene, and it sort of says that a lot of this behaviour happens for a gay man when they're in the stage, what he calls stage two, that sort of trying to be the best at everything or trying to get validation through external outlets, you know, how good my body is, how good I am at sex, or how much accumulation of wealth do I have, and all those sorts of things. But I mean, what he's suggesting there is that ultimately none of that stuff will ever be truly satisfying. It's when a person goes into the stage three where they sort of really try to become authentic and get in touch with themselves and work out what their needs are and their values are and their identity is and, you know, a whole lot of sort of self-work, that they will probably really get whatever it is they're wanting. So if people are getting validation or, like you say, from the sex or the behaviour, it's not going to be really authentic, give them a really authentic, solid sense of self. That can only come from, you know, building your own self-esteem and getting to know yourself and accepting yourself. I think, I'm not sure what you were saying when you said that they feel like they're really great at sex when they use this drug, whether you thought that was a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm not convinced that it's a positive thing.
No, it was more just that, you know, he was feeding that sense of validation for himself through the drug.
And it lowered the inhibition, so his self-doubt evaporated.
Well, exactly. And that's one of the great, amazing, well, not great things, one of the powerful things about meth is that it can make you feel invincible. If you're a gay man who's grown up feeling disempowered or not seen or not valued in the community, to take a drug and, you know, take it so quickly and suddenly to feel powerful and invincible gives you that missed experience that you've never had before.
In Johan Hari's article, Hedonism and the Secret of Happiness, it reads, "Hedonism is fun, incredible fun, for a while. Sex and intoxication and dancing are some of the most pure and perfect pleasures available to human beings. And a life without them would be a flavourless gruel. But a life where they are all that you have, where they are what gets you out of bed late in the afternoon, soon becomes like a diet where you are simply eating sugar."
Well, I mean, that sort of speaks for itself. I think what's being hinted at there is balance. You know, like some people...
You can have a little bit of getting totally fucked up. Is that what you're saying, Stu?
Well, I think what it really boils down to is know thyself. You know, that Socrates phrase is you have to know yourself. I think there's lots of different ways to have fun and to have a release as well. You know, some people can be serious in their lives and get things done and achieve and, you know, have intimacy and relationships and all that and get fucked up, you know, from time to time. That's balance. But I think what's being said there is that some people can't do that. They just want to eat sugar all the time, get hits all the time. And, you know, imagine what would happen if you just ate sugar all the time.
You'd be a diabetic. Are you an all-or-nothing person? Let us know. Perhaps you could share with us your thoughts about how you've managed to balance things for yourself. Let us know. This is how you do it.
We're listening to you. SMS 0427-JOY-949, email onair@joy.org.au or call us 1300-JOY-949.
Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Dr. Pamela Stevenson-Connolly, sexologist, and you're listening to Dean and Andrew on Hide and Seek, the only program about sex, sexuality and self on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
And whilst The Apprentice is away, we are here with the Naked Ninja, and our compassionate counsellor, Stu Fenton, is with us as well. Stu, how does one get out of this ever-spiralling pursuit of indulgence?
Well, I would say, first of all, you've got to become aware that it's not meeting the needs that you're trying to get met.
But what if it is? But it's costing you a fortune.
Well, I mean, you've got to weigh up whether you're ready to do something about the problem. And if you are, then that's the time where you would get support from, you know, your friends or people that still, you know, care about you. And you could get involved with a 12-step program if you wanted to become abstinent, or, you would start to see a therapist who could work with you on those issues to work out what is your goal with, I mean, if we're talking about drugs or we're talking about the behaviour, all that stuff you can only first of all set the goals that you want to set by becoming clear on what you want and what you don't want and what your values are and what your needs are. And that can be really hard to do if you're doing this on a weekly basis and you try to work it out on your own. But if you try and work it out with a group or a therapist or something like that, you can at least their people and feedback is going to help contribute to your awareness of what you want.
Well, I know that recently I've been talking to my friend Justine, who's listening now, and my neighbour John, about a lot of things that have been happening in my life, and I've found that they've been, you know, some of the best support that I've been able to get. Yep. Also, I think Johan's article goes on to say that, you know, one of the best things for to get over this hedonism is to actually have a sense of greater purpose within the community.
Yeah. Yeah, now that I'm remembering that part of the article, and I think that that's a really valuable point, because I think some, and I've noticed this in the gay community too, is some people naturally go out and do service in the gay community, or they get involved with helping others. And, you know, like I think too in the time of HIV, there was a lot of that going on because there was such a great need for it. And since, you know, the medications have come and people have stopped dying quite so rapidly from that disease, that has eased off a bit. But, you know, even 12-step programs are based around the notion of service, and that is once you get cleaner and are free from addiction, your job is to go out and be of service to others. And it does help you build your self-esteem. It does help you distract yourself from ruminating on, oh, this is my problem and this is my issue. So there's loads of benefit to getting out there and helping others and being supportive to other people.
And that can be on all sorts of fronts. It doesn't have to be, you know, wiping people's asses. I mean, it can be things like, you know, yelling at people like I do here. I mean, those sorts of things are all part of community. They're all part of giving back to the world that you love and making it a better one.
Well, absolutely. And I think, you know, I mean, this might be my personal opinion, but I think the gay community is a community that's suffered a lot, you know, not being recognised, and we've had our self-esteem battered a bit by, you know, even today, the fact that gay marriage isn't recognised has an impact on people. So there's a lot of healing that has to be done within our community, and you know, I don't know whether the slamming parties and the group sex and all that sort of stuff is going to contribute to that healing very much. But I do think that learning how for us to form a much more solid brotherhood, you know, and to sort of protect each other, stand up for each other, to be of service for each other, yeah, whatever that looks like, you're right. It doesn't have to be wiping people's asses. It can be simply stepping in when you see someone getting abused or whatever on the street. It comes in many forms of standing up for what you know is right, especially within the gay community.
One of the other things that the article finished on was that if you want to be happy, stop trying to look for happiness.
Well, yeah, but there was something else it said. There's something else that really, I can't remember what it was. Yeah.
Don't look for the personal endorphin buzz. Look instead for a cause bigger than yourself. It's not like the world isn't full of them. From helping gay refugees to preventing ecological collapse. The poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge said, "Happiness is a hound dog in the sun. We're not here to be happy, but to experience great and wonderful things." You want to be happier? Then aim higher than being happy. Make yourself useful.
Yeah, that's the word that I love, is being useful, because, you know, like, personally, I spent a lot of time on the gay scene, running around taking drugs and being at parties and all that, and it was really wonderful. But, you know, these days, working as a therapist, I get to be useful, and I just find that that's a much more solid way of building my self-esteem. And I think it can be a little bit tricky if you're basing, you know, your whole worldview on wanting to be happy. You know, I've personally said it several times in different groups I've been in, but I just want to be happy, and people have challenged me.
Just want to be happy!
Yes, but they'll say, is that realistic? You know, and I think simply like contentment and peace are probably a little bit more realistic. So, and I think the way that that happens for me, at least, is in being useful. I love working with gay men, and I love when they have breakthroughs, and I like walking out of the room, you know, if they're feeling better, knowing that I've been useful.
Good stuff. Speaking of being useful, Stu Fenton, I believe you're going to come to Melbourne and be bloody useful. What's going on?
Well, it kind of fits in line with a bit of what we've been talking about tonight. I've been doing a bit of this thing called acceptance and commitment therapy, and one of the things it gets you to do is to look at what your values are in your life and what's important to you, and then you get to look at your life and see if you're living in line with your values, and if you're not, you have to ask yourself why not. So I did that about 2 months ago, and I realised that my...
See you, Sydney! Bye!
Pretty much. Yeah.
Really? Oh, I hope you find it here in Melbourne, whatever it is that you've come down for.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely... I feel that I'll be able to live more in line with my values being down there.
And are you going to practice here as well?
Yes. I've got a job down there 3 days a week working in St Kilda in an organisation, but my practice day is probably going to be Thursdays, and I'll slowly build that up again.
Fantastic. Good on you. Well, we can expect to see more of you, and you might even pop into the studio more than once every 4 years. That'd be great.
Cool.
Stu, always a delight to speak with you. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
And you can find out more about Stu Fenton's work at practicalpowerforgaymen.com.au.
Guests appearing on Hide and Seek provide general information only. What you hear on the show should not replace consulting your mental health professional. If you're in need of immediate care, please call Lifeline on 13 11 14. In an emergency, always contact 000.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.